entrepreneurship, leadership, and free market capitalism. You are listening to Kyle Keegan.
Welcome back to the Kyle Keegan Radio Show, where we are bringing producer-centered radio to your favorite podcasting apps. What is this show about? We are here to bring out the very best in entrepreneurs, making way more than a living, building things that are bigger than just us and our efforts, and embracing entrepreneurs and the value that they bring to the world. We believe that entrepreneurship is a high calling and an honorable pursuit. Our own efforts are finite, but our businesses can be infinite. That makes it bigger than us, ladies and gentlemen. The world's resources are available to you if you are a good leader, but it is your job to be that good leader and attract those resources to whatever you're creating. And that's how you have that scale. That's how you make the world a better place with your business. Having created that great wealth after you did all of this means that you created great value, an option chosen above the alternatives by our customers, investors, and employees. Value creation absolutely improves lives, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. If you want to interact with me and the show, text 713-528-8219. You can do it right now if you want. Telegram, for those of you who do not have a U.S. phone number, Twitter, and KeeganRadio.com. If you're getting great value out of the show, please, the only thing I ask of you is that you leave us your five-star reviews and also tell your friends. Thank you for listening, and not just listening, but being who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to share a new five-star review with you that just showed up, as I am actually told that featuring these reviews on the show is a good thing for the show. It's evidently great content for you guys. You guys enjoy that kind of stuff, and it encourages more people to leave reviews. That's what I'm told. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm following the book on that one, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to read this review for you very quickly. It is on Apple Podcasts, ladies and gentlemen. That's the primary place people leave these reviews. I think you can even leave a review even if you don't listen to it on Apple Podcasts. You can also still go there and leave a review as somebody who listens. Anyway, the review is by somebody who goes by the name Agent X, evidently. It says, "Amazing, the absolute best podcast on entrepreneurship and economics. Kyle Keegan goes in depth on many topics that impact entrepreneurs and how to solve them as a serial entrepreneur himself. He has great guests that also have started businesses and has even given the guests tailored advice during the show on how to improve their business. Great perspectives on human motivations and how to improve lives. The best place to find actionable advice on how to improve your life." And I love that. I read that, and that was so unbelievably appreciated for whoever wrote that. I hope you're listening right now. Thank you so very much for writing those. From this point forward, when I see new ones on there, I will share them on the air. So it's a little bit of an interaction that you can have with the show, and you might be featured. You'll get the shout out for leaving these types of reviews. So thank you for leaving that review. Anyway, welcome to episode 316. I hope you enjoyed our fifth and final episode, the last episode of our Bulletproof Mindset series, which was super solid, and everybody seemed to really like that series about how to kind of address the world that we live in today, a world that kind of attacks that opportunity, a world that is ever-changing and slightly unstable for long-term prospects. You know, it wasn't long ago where you could have started a business and had a pretty good expectation that that business could be around for a great deal of time. But now things are more and more uncertain. So I talked about entering that with that bulletproof mindset, bringing your best as an entrepreneur to the market, doing well for yourself, thriving in an environment where others may have some rough times. So five total episodes of how to just apply the best that you can be to the world. And they went really well. I appreciate all of the listeners on that. And the feedback that I've gotten on that has been fantastic, but it's also been a bit of a struggle to come up with how do I follow up that, right? I worked hard. It was 5 total episodes of that. How do I follow up such a series? And I came up with the idea of discussing starting, okay? Starting. So I'm going to go over these couple of topics, why it matters to start, okay? What kind of pitfalls do people fall into that avoid starting their business, okay? And then what I would do if I just sold all of my companies, and then what I would do if I had absolutely nothing, okay? So those are the topics for today. Why starting matters, the pitfalls people fall into, what I would do if I just sold my companies, and finally, what I would do if I had absolutely freaking nothing and I was starting from scratch. There are some pretty compelling sayings about getting started, like, if not now, then when? Or, a year from now, you may wish you'd started today. Or, there's no better time to start than right now. Or, do something today that your future self will thank you for. I use that one quite often. How about just get out there and make it happen? My personal favorite is a Henry Ford quote that says, you can't build a reputation on what you are going to do. You guys know that I'm a fan of Henry Ford. If you haven't read his autobiography, I would suggest that you pick that up because it's fantastic. It's called My Life and Work. And remember, this is an autobiography. This is literally the mind of the great spilling his knowledge onto paper. If you haven't read that, you're just wasting time not reading that book. Yet, anyway, the man was a great entrepreneur, an amazing entrepreneur, and I love that quote. You cannot build a reputation on what you are going to do, and that embodies this show so well because I don't want to do anything in business unless it brings my reputation to a higher level. Reputation is something that you should always build in congruence with your business, so I love that he recognizes that fact. That as you continue to do well in business, you should also continue to do well among others. And when you do well among others, you become a better and better leader and more apt to do other great stuff. So that is very cool and important. Starting, ladies and gentlemen, I got this email or message. I don't know where. I get so many different things, you know, whether it be a private message on the Fastlane forum, or whether it be an email or a text message or a Telegram message or something on Twitter. There's a lot of different places. But anyway, I got a message from a guy, and I usually tend to ask people who tell me, hey, great show, I really enjoy it, and you know, could you do something on this or that? And I always oblige. I always say, yeah, I'll, you know, try to work that in, and then I'll let them know when I've kind of worked that into a show. And I usually ask, what kind of business are you in? What do you have going on? Is there something that, you know, a specific question maybe that you might have, or perhaps I could help or introduce you to somebody perhaps? I don't know. I'm always happy to help people. If you go back to my episode with Andy Black about give and take, I like to give. I like to have a reputation as somebody who can help. And if it's really no skin off my back, I will just help people. Anyway, I usually ask, what are you in or what are you doing? And one of these guys in particular, he gives me this detailed thing about what he wants to do, but he hasn't worked out all of how it's going to work yet. So that is the pitfall that I wanted to talk about before we get on to what I would do. Okay, the pitfalls of thinking like that. Now, he doesn't know I was going to talk about this on the air. I'm not going to tell you who he is or what his project is or any of that kind of stuff. But what I will say is that that is the definition of the pitfall that I'm talking about. The people who avoid starting because they don't really know where to begin or they don't think they're ready to start. That's probably the biggest. They convince themselves that they're not ready to start. And those of you who do have a company that's currently operating, there might be some great steps that you intend to take at some point, but you don't take them yet because you decide that you aren't ready. Well, if I were you guys on both sides of that coin, I would take an examination on what parameters, what things make you think that you aren't ready to start. Okay. You honestly need to list them out. You really need a written list of all of the reasons why you don't think you are ready to either take that new or bigger action in your current business or start your business that you intend to start. And you need to figure out what they are and start tackling them. The first thing I would do is separate them into two categories. I would want to know which ones are kind of rooted in just my own self-limiting belief nonsense, right? Some external locus type stuff, okay? What are illegitimate reasons for my inaction, right? I want to know all of those too, and I want to be able to address them. Of course, like if you don't know there's illegitimate reasons for your inaction, then they're going to live on in your life. So you want to pull those out as well. What are the illegitimate reasons you give yourself for your inaction? And we all have them. I swear to you, ladies and gentlemen, I have them too. Okay. So find them, hunt them down, take them out, ladies and gentlemen. Then you'll have the more legitimate reasons, right? There's actually some serious stuff that has to come first. And if there is that stuff that has to come first, then we need to start addressing that. We need to start figuring out how we get those done. Here comes another airplane analogy. If you are into civil aviation, private civil aviation, you're a pilot who perhaps owns a Cessna or a Beechcraft or something like that, the first thing that you have to do when you arrive at the airport is pull your airplane out of the hangar. Okay, you're not even starting the engines yet. Hey, you could use that as the metaphor for starting your business. But you still had to do some other stuff before you start the engine. So you've got to wheel this airplane out. You've got to inspect it. You have to make sure that all is well. You make sure that it is fueled up and ready to go. You do a pre-flight examination. You make sure that the flaps and the ailerons and the rudder all work properly. Take a walk around the entire plane. This is before you start. It's like doing product research. It's like making sure that you are capable of starting whatever business this is. You are doing actual things that are smart to do. I'm not ever going to suggest to you that you take a leap right away, spend a bunch of money on something that wasn't thoughtful. Of course, I want you to be thoughtful on your business journey. Thoughtlessly diving right in, straight into business and spending a boatload of money would be just like wheeling that airplane out of the hangar and not checking anything over at all, not even making sure that it is fueled, and just hopping in it and trying to take off. Okay, it more than likely will be fine. You probably have a lot of fuel left over from last time. You trust whatever, it more than likely could be fine. You're not going to kill yourself in a situation like that. But there is a reason why they thoughtfully look over these airplanes every time they take off. It's built in. It's safety. It's important. So that's why they do. It's called a pre-flight check. And I wouldn't suggest that you start a business without your pre-flight check. So that's not what I am saying. But that pre-flight check has to come to an end. You can only check the things so many times. You can only walk so many times around the airplane. You want to take off, or eventually you'd be faster to just drive your car wherever you're going if you check it and check it and check it and check it and check it. So it does have to come to an end. You might say, oh, Kyle, I'm just really concerned with my safety. Okay, well, there is an acceptable amount of risk and there's an unacceptable amount of risk. Why do they check over the major systems in these airplanes? Well, because that's quick, that's easy, that maintains the usefulness of the object, the usefulness of the discussion at hand. But what happens if every time you take off, you strip the engine down to its pistons? and inspect every piston ring and inspect the oil for shavings of metal and change the oil every single time. And, you know, you would just have a never ending cycle. You take the landing gear off and make sure it functions properly and jack it up and do this. And like, do you even have an airplane? Do you have a business if all you do is tinker? If all you do is screw around 15 feet outside of the hangar preparing for flight? No, you don't. Now, would all of those actions actually be safer? Would taking a close examination at all of the seals on the engine, would diving deep, that deep into this, make that airplane safer for that particular flight? Yes, of course it would. It would. But there's nothing safer than leaving it on the ground. So if safety is your only concern, you don't leave. You don't ever leave. So you have to have a little bit of willingness to take that risk, or else you don't leave the ground. And there is a reason why. There is a standard way to take a look at this stuff before takeoff, and a ridiculous way to prepare for takeoff. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the biggest pitfall. That's the pitfall I'm talking about. Because you can easily say that the reason you aren't starting is a very legitimate reason for safety, right? But how far do you want to take that? So find your illegitimate reasons, put them out to pasture. Find your legitimate reasons and deal with them. How do we address them? How do we get past them? That is a place where you need a breakthrough and you need to work on those particular places. Starting is important because without starting, you don't have anything. If you don't finally start that airplane, it's not even an airplane. It's just a machine that sits on the ground and does nothing. Okay? Don't have a useless airplane. Anyway, the aviation metaphors are just fantastic for business. I've been using them a lot lately, but they work so well, and I didn't even know that I was going to do that, as a matter of fact, but it just made so much sense. Oh, another key thing, and I'll let you in on this. You know, those of you who are just avid listeners who want to learn to speak in public and do well with that, I had the hardest time speaking in public, but there was eventually a skill that I built where I began to think faster than I speak. Okay? That is such a key thing. It's wonderful once you can figure that out. So if you work hard on that, you will get it, because I could not prior think faster than I speak. I'd have significant preparation for everything that I was going to do. And now I can just lean into what I'm thinking and think faster than I speak. It's interesting. A nice little golden nugget I'll tuck in the middle of this show that has no pertaining value to the discussion at hand. Anyway, the pitfall, we addressed it. What am I going to talk about now? What would I do if I just now sold my companies, right? Because this is a different argument than what would I do if I had nothing. And there are some fallacies to the second argument there that we'll get into in a little bit. But what would I do today if I sold my companies? So I would theoretically have money in the bank from the sale of the companies, enough money in the bank that I could potentially retire, right? I could decide to retire if I wanted to. You guys know that I'm not someone who wants to sit around and exist. I want to do things. So that's really not an option. But the fact of the matter is, I have a experience in business and a desire to start something else. So what am I going to start? What am I going to do, and how am I going to do it? Well, I have long held that the way I would handle my next startup would be with an incredible amount of other people's money. So I would attract, rightfully, as much money as humanly possible to a venture that I create. And I'd have to, in order to get that money, create a great reason for them to give it to me, right? It's their job to find a good option to invest in. And it would be my job to be that good option. So I have to create what legitimately is a really good option for their investment dollar. So that's how I would start. I don't want to put my own money on the line. I worked hard for that. And there are a lot of people in this world who would want the opportunity to be a part of my business. And there are people who my entire net worth is nothing to them. It literally is an afterthought to the kind of wealth that they have. So would you want to spend your money where it's everything, right? It's your life's work. It was a long time that it took you to build that versus a fund with billions under management, for instance, or, you know, tens of millions ready to deploy. And they just, I mean, literally they'll spread tens of millions to tons of different companies, stuff like that. I like that that money is worth a heck of a lot less to them than it is to me. That's easier, in my opinion. It's way easier to find that person than it is to make that money without finding that person in the first place. Once you find that person, of course, who wants to invest in you, you're part of the deal. You're building something much bigger than you day one, ladies and gentlemen. So, your money is yours. You worked hard for it. I'm happy to put money into my business to build an amazing offer, of course, to round out what would make this attractive to others. Of course, I'm happy to use my money for that. But I want to build something much bigger than me. So it's not a matter of snowballing from a I sold seven products today standpoint anymore. It is a launch, a legitimate launch with real employees, teams, the whole nine yards. Because you can, as long as you attract those resources to you for a rightful reason. A really good example of this, and I use her for a reason, is Theranos. So Elizabeth Holmes. So Elizabeth Holmes started her blood testing business as just somebody who went around and legitimately inspired people. If you watch some of the documentaries about her and stuff, she was inspiring to her investors. She was a piece of crap, you know, and she fully lied to people because she wanted to build up this image. But let's ignore that fact and just look at it from the standpoint of here was somebody who was inspiring, who had an inspiring idea and had really nothing to sell to investors when she first solicited their money. Later on, she committed fraud. But when she first solicited their money, they invested in that dream. She wanted to chase a dream of a drop of blood being enough to test for all sorts of different things. And people bit, and they bit hard on that, and they sent her money, and they believed in her. They thought she was going to be the next Steve Jobs or whatever. And that, to me, ladies and gentlemen, was a rightful reason to invest. Had I been an investor and inspired by her, I would have likely given her money. Now, let's talk about when that flipped, right? Of course, she turned into a lying scumbag who defrauded a bunch of people. But in the beginning, I believe that she wanted to actually do what she said she was going to do. Why do this otherwise? Why put yourself at risk? Why ruin your reputation? So I'm sure she had that dream or that intention from the very beginning, and it was cool, and it attracted the money. So it is a interesting lesson when you look at her, how she went about getting her start. And that's all I'm saying. She inspired others, and they invested in her company, rightfully, because they believed in her. And she was someone to believe in, at least at that point in time. And there's a really good reason that I use her, because the people who screw up in this world get the most press, and you get the most information on them, and the story is told in the more vivid ways, okay? So there's countless now documentaries and books that you can read about her. Would that have been the case had she just started a company? I don't know. You tell me. How about a company like Salesforce Ladies and gentlemen, is there a big story about how Salesforce got its start circling around out there on HBO? I mean, there you go. That's the reason why it is a good bet to get that information from. And you look at this, and my thoughts on this in particular is there was one day where she decided to make a move, a lie, a large lie, a lie that she maybe planned to cover up or had a plan to cover up, but failed to cover up her lie. And as time went on, the lie got bigger and bigger, and the ability to cover up the lies just became more and more unlikely. And eventually, a leader who takes that turn in business, somebody who goes from a legitimate business to the illegitimate side, usually spends the rest of their free life trying to keep the house of cards from blowing over. And that's really what happened here. I have a firm belief that had she instead been totally honest about the setbacks in development and been totally honest with investors that things weren't going as well, but here are some of our plans to try to fix this, to try to make this better, then she would still be a wealthy woman with a successful company right now. It may not have been as successful as it was before all of this was uncovered, but she wouldn't be a giant laughingstock, someone who has court battles for life, you know, and a soiled reputation beyond anything that you could possibly imagine. So instead, she would have still been wealthy. She still would have been respected. She still would have had a great company had she not taken that turn, had she not made that initial decision to be an idiot liar and instead was a good leader and honest with the people around her. Anyway, she is a great example of inspiring others around you with a legitimately inspiring business to become involved in this and building something much bigger than you right out of the gate. So she is a great example. The first half of her story is great. Switch flips, second half of her story, great lesson in what not to do. Anyway, moving on. This is a question I get all the freaking time. What would I do if I had absolutely nothing? Okay, Kyle, I have absolutely nothing. What would you do if you were me? And there is a huge fallacy with that question to begin with, because the fallacy is that you would have, if you had nothing for real, no education, no skills, no friends, no family, no money at all, perhaps no job, but primarily, you have no wisdom. You have no built-up wisdom, and what you are asking for is built-up wisdom, right? What would you do, Kyle, if you had nothing? Well, the problem with that question in general is you're asking somebody who doesn't have nothing. Okay, I have something. So it is there is a bit of a fallacy there. You need to get started, okay? If you don't have an education and you don't know what to do, you need to gain an education. You need to start educating yourself. And the fact of the matter is, if you truly have nothing and you don't have, I mean, even internet or something like that, you can go to a library or something, for crying out loud. You probably need to get a job first and foremost. I really hesitate to suggest a frickin' library, because you're doing pretty bad if you have to rely on a library to educate yourself. Anyway, get a job if you don't have a job. Make money if you don't have money. Start improving your life and improving those things. You have to build your life on some kind of foundation. You're not going to take some, you know, where was the last story that you heard that somebody was homeless for 10 years? They had absolutely nothing, no friends, no skills, no anything, and then built a business. You can't build a great business out of just complete nothingness. It has to come out of something, and it has to be built on top of something. I spend a lot of time talking about foundations. So you have to build your foundation first. It sucks. It's not probably what a lot of you want to hear, but it may take a while to build that foundation. But if you have a foundation built, okay, if you are one of these people who has some money, wants to start a business, has some education, knows that there is an issue in the market that needs to be solved, believes that you are capable of solving that, then you have that foundation. You have less legitimate excuses for inaction. So I'll wrap this show up today by saying, if you have nothing, get something. All right. And I know that sounds harsh, but if you have nothing, get something. You need the foundation. If you have everything you need, start working through your legitimate and illegitimate reasons for not starting. Work through them both, ladies and gentlemen. And if you really want to blow the doors off of it out of the gate, learn to be very inspiring, a great leader. Okay. To wrap this up, if you are wanting to start a business and you're trying to see what is coming, right? You're trying to anticipate the needs of the business, to plan this out. Somebody gave me a business plan once, and it went so far into the future, it was absurd. They hadn't made their first phone call yet for this business, but there was, these are the customers that we're going to have, and these are the suppliers that we're going to have. They didn't even have a supplier yet. They had the type of office building they planned to rent, how many employees they planned to hire. They had the accounting firm they were going to use. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, they had the model numbers of the copy machines that they planned on buying for the office that they planned on buying. Like, if somebody walked that into my office, because they asked me, what do you think about this? It's very thorough. And do you think I can raise venture capital with this? And I told them in no uncertain terms, no, absolutely not, because it's a lie. The entire thing is just conjecture. Okay. There is not one thing on there that I can be assured of as an investor. This is how you think it's going to go. Great. Show me why you think it's going to go there. Show me why all of this crap is going to happen. Last I checked, people can't predict the future. You don't have a crystal ball. What the hell is this? Right? And I really tore into this. And, you know, eventually he reshaped his pitch and learned to be inspiring and actually got funded. But that first draft, oh my gosh, what, that was so horrendous and terrible. And he would tell you the same thing, of course. And don't be that guy. The fact of the matter is, business is a lot like this hallway. I've used this metaphor before too, right? You're walking down a hallway, and at the end of the hallway, there's a right or there's a left that you're going to take. And one of them leads you to the destination that you want to go to, right? But you have no map and no idea what is going to be at that end of the hallway. So you at least have to walk down the damn hallway. And that's starting, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to move just far enough to see what pivot and what move you need to make next. So if you're putting together a business plan, make it an inspiring business plan and have really good documented reasons why this is inspiring, right? Did you talk to a major potential customer of this and they voiced a ton of interest? Share that with somebody, right? Don't say, this is a hypothetical customer that I will talk to after you give me your money. Like, no, I already talked to him. Here it is on your desk. This badass customer that could bring us millions of dollars in sales. They're interested. You're welcome. Now write a check, right? Anyway, start, ladies and gentlemen. Starting is the only way that you can actually have a business. So start. I hope you guys have a great day. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Recorded it on a Saturday, had a busy week. My apologies for not getting one out Thursday or Friday like I usually do. Check out the show notes on the way out for social media and links. Thank you for supporting the show and always being a part of our movement up the charts. Join the progress thread at thefastlaneforum.com. God bless you guys. Entrepreneurs like you build the future. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Maybe start today, even though it's Saturday. Hey, start if you haven't started already, or start on starting at least. Stay tuned for our next episode. Until next time, everybody, keep building amazing things.